Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, Sharks fans. Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 49. That's Doug. I'm Mike.
Dude,
I switched it up.
You did?
Yeah.
You caught me off guard there.
I know. Well, we got to keep things interesting because the season's over for the Sharks. There's hockey still being played. We got around a month until the draft.
That's right. We've got Blackhawks and Red Wings duking it out, and we've got the Penguins and Carolina Hurricanes.
That's right.
I don't know if I'd call it duking it out over there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look... I don't think that's going to be that great of a series, dude.
We'll talk about those series in the shootout. But we got stuff to talk about between now and then, and we're going to go over what's happening with the Sharks. There's probably not going to be a lot of Sharks news between now and then, but...
What do you mean? There's a lot going on, dude.
In the Sharks?
Sure.
Like what?
Well, they're having a sale down at the Shark Store.
Okay.
Summer sale.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about 20% off.
Okay.
Definitely... there's a discount on those Travis Moan is our savior shirts.
I think those are clearance prices at this point.
Yeah, you can get the leather bound Marcel Gotch blogger, how to blog.
Blogging for
Sprechen
dummies.
Die blog, I think is what it's called.
A signed copy.
Yeah. And actually, they're offering 50% off hip surgeries for Mike Greer.
Always good.
Yeah.
Maybe he might get a whole six pack of those. You know, you never know.
It doesn't matter.
Could have a couple in the bank. I got to say that number 49, Matthew Darche.
Very nice, dude. I never, ever would have guessed that one.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Is he still playing?
He is, I think.
He's playing for Tampa, right?
He was. Yeah, he was. Didn't he play almost all of last year and was like a minus?
Like 80.
80 yeah. Something terrible.
It's like
I think
he was
back in the minors. Dude, I'm going to figure that out during the course of the show.
Okay, you find that out. So what we're going to do today, Sharks fans, first of all, we're going to talk about State of the Sharks. That's really the one thing that's happened over the past week. And then we're going to start talking about our views on the things the Sharks need to do. So there's a bunch of different steps. We've identified a number of different steps. We're going to spread it out over the weeks between now and the draft. And we're going to want your input, so we'll talk about the steps that we're going to cover today. We'll talk about future steps we're going to do in future shows, and we definitely want your opinions on that. And the email address is questions@dudesonhockey.com. So,
Portland Pirates, dude.
Portland Pirates.
Yep, 66 points this year.
Nice.
Yeah,
he had 66 points?
Yeah, he is a AHL juggernaut.
Wow.
The Portland Pirates are the AHL affiliate of...
Well, it's not,
dude.
It's not the Lightning.
No,
I don't know. I don't know who is it.
I don't know either. I was kind of hoping you might.
You're hoping I know.
Actually, no. Okay, no. I do know. I do know. It's the Buffalo Sabres.
Okay,
because I see Nathan Gerbe.
Yeah,
Gerbe.
Gerbe.
Gerb and Tim Kennedy are on the roster. Okay,
there it is.
Sorry, dude.
Anyway, so I was talking about we're going over multiple steps, what we think that the Sharks should do. We're going to try to answer these questions in the order that the Sharks should answer them. And hopefully you can let us know what you think of our answers and which questions were the right questions to ask. And hopefully you guys can all weigh in and we'll all weigh in together. We'll read your emails on the air and we'll talk about why you're wrong and we're right, or we'll talk about why we're all right together.
Yeah. Absolutely. Dude, can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
We had our highest rated show as far as listenership last week.
Yeah.
We gained a lot of listeners thanks to the roundtable. So I'm hoping that maybe, you know, some of these listeners have stuck with us. So we want to say welcome back.
Absolutely.
Honorary dudes.
Thanks for coming around in the off season.
We appreciate it. Last week was a great show. And whenever we get more hits, we always know that people enjoy the show. So thank you very much.
It's good. Good to see the numbers still going up. And I hope people will still maintain their ties to the Sharks by listening to the podcast all throughout the summer, because Lord knows we'll still be podcasting.
That's right. All right. Down to business, dude.
Down to business. State of the Sharks. That was really what happened. We had a post on it on the blog, which is sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And we sort of went over the things we went. But my summary, which is what it always is it's sort of you got to find the gems amidst the load of crap and PR fluff that they all put out there.
Right.
You know, sometimes amidst good questions, sometimes amidst bad questions. But sometimes you find some interesting things among all the stuff that people say.
I thought Todd McClellan was actually surprisingly candid.
Yeah.
Almost to the point where I thought Doug Wilson was going to lean over and say, listen, Todd,
we don't
usually give this much information.
Yeah.
So
maybe it was his first State of the Sharks. He was kind of excited. He certainly became clear that he knows a hell of a lot about hockey, and he was willing to explain the finer aspects of certain pieces. I personally found his description of what the Sharks did right and wrong on the power play during the playoffs to be pretty damn on point. Pretty interesting.
I think one thing that I took out of the State of the Sharks, which was considerably more palatable this year than last year, I thought.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
I agree with that.
I feel still extremely confident in our ownership, leadership, and coaching staff from the top to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're committed. Their disappointment was obvious. Todd McClellan, just listening to him speak and seeing the presence that he has up there with the players, with his interactions with Doug Wilson and Greg Jamieson, I think he's going to be the coach of the Sharks for a long time.
He could be. Yeah, he showed some interesting things up there that, you know, he's a pretty young coach, 41 or 42 years old. And, you know, maybe this is something that he just sort of gained over the course of his career. But, you know, he had a couple of one legitimate superstar on the table with him. And one close superstar in Patrick Marleau. And there was no questioning who was in charge. Even though they're fairly close in age.
There was a few verbal undressings up there by Todd McClellan that was done in good humor. But there was one, you know, funny instance where a question was asked of Joe Thornton, you know, on the power play, you know, why don't you shoot more? And Joe had kind of a flip comic answer where he said, you know, I really wish that the fans would tell me to shoot more when I'm on the power play because I just can't hear you, you know. And everyone was laughing, you know, and it is funny actually for him to acknowledge the fact that he can hear the moron behind you yelling shoot,
right,
you know, in the crowd, which you never rarely hear them ever acknowledge they can hear that.
Yeah.
And then a later question came up where McClellan, you know, went back at Joe and zinged at him and said, you know, if you can get Joe to shoot on the power play, I'll give you an assistant coaching job.
Yeah.
You know, so clearly this is
something
that has come up many times, but it was, you're right. He showed that he is top dog. He was not deferring. He's in charge.
He's not intimidated at all
by
a guy making $7 million and scoring 100 points a year.
They looked to him too. I mean, you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that there wasn't like they were looking at him like, oh, all right, you know, shut up, Mike Keenan, you know, and you go shove it, you know.
Dude, I'm going to get off on a little rant. I'm going to go a little off the schedule here because there's something that I know we talked about. I think maybe we were walking back from State of the Sharks. And it's something that's interesting that I see people express on message boards and stuff like that. And maybe this is my way of saying it's a reality check to the fans out there. But people have this idea, at least it seems like they do, that if the fans and the media are hard on the Sharks, that somehow that's going to help the team in some way. And saying there was no tough questions asked. People didn't get up there. They weren't mad. They didn't yell at the coaching staff. They didn't yell at the players at State of the Sharks. And, you know, this is some namby-pamby fan base. And if you think that way, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. Personally, and I'd like to get your weigh-in on this and weigh-ins from the readers. Personally, you know, being mad and mean and booing and yelling at the players, I don't think that helps at all. If that's what you want to do, you pay your money, you come to the arena, that's what you want to do. Great. You know, do what you want to do. You know, you've earned that right by paying your money and coming to the arena. But it doesn't make you a bigger fan. It doesn't make you a better fan. It doesn't make you a smarter fan. It just makes you a guy who's mad at the team. You know, granted, you're mad. But to think that it actually helps the team and helps the team perform when you boo their ass and you say that they suck, you think that's somehow going to help them play better. I mean, wake up. That's not... It doesn't have any effect. Otherwise, Philly would win the freaking Stanley Cup every year.
Right.
Or Montreal would. Montreal hasn't won since 92, since basically the Sharks have been in the league. Philly hasn't won since the 70s. So... You know, does that, I mean, am I way off base here?
No, I agree with you. You know, we've talked about how I get irritated when fans boo a bad power play during the game. I just think, you know, no one comes up to you at work when you make a mistake or you file a document wrong and your boss comes up to your cube and goes, boo. You know, that doesn't happen. And I mean, I understand it's entertainment and we're paying to be there and there's a certain expectation of performance. But, you know, if you're supporting a group of guys and a team, I don't think that you do that. The other thing about this is it's not like this is the Detroit Lions. They went 0-16 and yeah. Someone suggested on Chomp Board, I think it was, that we should all show up to the tank wearing paper bags on our heads.
Yeah.
like we're humiliated yeah. by their performance. And, you know, I think clearly, you know, we're frustrated. I know a lot of Sharks fans are frustrated, but that wasn't the mood of the fans at the event. People gave the players a standing ovation. Well, not everyone.
Todd McClellan.
Okay. Todd McClellan got a huge standing ovation that we both participated in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the players got about a partial standing ovation that we both did not participate in.
That's right.
But we applauded for them.
Sure.
But we did not stand up. I mm-hmm. don't think they deserved a standing ovation.
No.
But we're going to support these guys if they're wearing the uniform. But I agree with you, dude. I think, you know, going up to Joe Pavelski on the street and, you know, or even grabbing a microphone and asking him or telling him that he sucks.
Right.
And that, you know, I don't understand why you were so lousy in the faceoff circle, you know, and why Todd Marchant made you look like a little girl. And, you know, what's your problem, huh?
Yeah.
The first question that was asked, we both felt extremely uncomfortable when someone took the microphone, said, Joe Thornton, when you were traded here, we were all excited, but when are you going to make this your team?
How do you answer that?
I don't know. And he couldn't answer it. I felt awkward for Joe. I thought that question's unanswerable.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And I mean, going up to Patrick Marleau, don't you think you should give up the C? It's like, he's like, you know what? You're so right. You are. Let me tear it off right now and give it to somebody else. You know what? And just because you said that, I'm going to play so much better next year. You know, I only had 38 goals this year. I really suck ass. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's not going to happen. And I mean, everybody has a right to be irritated. But don't think that you're somehow making this team better by being overly irritated or being super mad. It's just that's the way you feel. You know, that's how people react to sports. We both of us happen to not react that way. But you know, it doesn't make us better or worse than you because you do. So
sure. And clearly, I mean, we'll find out when we go to select a seat. We're renewing our season tickets. And
yeah.
No surprise, I think, to anybody.
Yeah.
When we go to select a seat and there's going to be a ton of empty seats, I don't think so. I mean, this event was attended by 2,500 people.
Yeah. It was the biggest Sharks night that I've seen.
It was packed.
Yeah.
And those people were there because they're interested in the team. And I don't think, you know, the majority of them are just going to turn their back on the San Jose Sharks.
Right.
Because there's a great core of talent. There's good leadership. And we have to believe that they're going to do the right things with some of our suggestions. Hopefully, Mike.
Yeah. Hopefully they're listening right now.
Dude, this is not a Detroit Lions situation here.
Yeah. This isn't a team, you know, as EJ Raddick said a couple of weeks ago, you know, and I asked the culture of losing question, which actually I almost wanted to ask to Doug Wilson if I had the time, and I didn't feel like waiting in line for 3 hours. But, you know, culture of losing in terms of the playoffs, not in terms of the regular season. But, you know, EJ Redick says, you know, Atlanta has a culture of losing. The Islanders do. I mean, the Sharks have won a lot of games. I mean, have they got it done in the playoffs? Not even close. And, of course, everybody's pissed off about that. But it doesn't mean that they suck. It just means they can't get it done in the playoffs. And, I mean, if there's anything that State of the Sharks seem to show to me and you and everybody else is that, you know, they don't care that they won the President's Trophy. I didn't see anybody say, you know what's awesome is that we won the President's Trophy.
No, nobody said that. But even the culture of losing, I mean, we were in the conference finals 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We've been in the conference semis 3 years in a row up until this year when we bowed out. You know, so I think fans in Atlanta would kill to be San Jose Sharks fans. You know, they would.
I mean, they're in a tough spot.
They're in a really tough spot.
I think
a Phoenix Coyote fan would like to be a San Jose Sharks fan right now.
Yeah, I'll say that's
absolutely
true.
Dude, there were a few other things that I took out of that we talked about on the blog. I got the impression that Rob Blake is coming back.
Yeah, they mentioned
sure.
Rob Blake several times, you know. And, you know, that's going to go into our step one question, our question number one here we're going to talk about in a couple minutes because, you know, that he's unrestricted.
Yeah.
you know, it's interesting to see what's going to happen with that.
And dude, what about Dan Boyle's kind of really pointed comments towards Evgeny Nabokov?
Yeah. And a lot of people clapped when he said that, too. He's yeah. like, we need better goaltending. And a lot of people are like, yeah.
A lot of people clapped.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and I know that's one of our steps here that we're going to talk about is, you know, the stars at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Is Nabokov's head on the line here? We'll get into that in a second. What about, you know, JR's future, you know, clearly in limbo. They
mm-hmm.
no one was really willing to make any sort of commitment on that.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is he played, what, 40 games this year. JR, which in whether he comes back or doesn't come back, let's say he does come back, he's not going to be a cornerstone of this team. He's
no.
not going to be, you know, and people say he should be the captain. I don't agree with that. He's not. He doesn't contribute enough. He's not healthy enough.
He's not looking for that type of role anyways.
To do that. No. I just don't. I mean, you can't count on 70 games from this guy. I mean, he's a great player and he brings a lot to the table in terms of the locker room, but I don't think he's a guy that you can lean on. You can't build the house on JR.
True. That's,
he's not a foundation. He's a great supporting player, but he's not the foundation of the team.
Right.
So anyway, we got a bunch of steps here. We got 7 steps. The first step, and this is, should I just
it's
go
not 12 steps, right? I mean, we're not in total.
Right. So the first step is we have to acknowledge that we're powerless, that there are things right. in life greater than ourselves.
Hi, my name is Doug, and
Hi,
I'm a Sharks
Doug.
Fan. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So the first step that the Sharks have to do, and I mean, this may seem stupid, but they all flow together. What are the Sharks going to spend? And I think that question is really up in the air. And of course, we're going to be, you know, having some conjecture on this topic. And I think that's going to be a big question to answer in terms of what are the Sharks going to do this offseason? Because if they spend to the cap, that means they do one set of things. And if they go with history and decide not to spend to the cap, that means they're going to do a whole different set of things.
Yeah, it's very important. I think we both agree that that's the first step. You know, ownership this year was very generous as far as allowing Doug Wilson to make some major acquisitions, adding to the team's core by bringing in a player like Rob Blake, and that's $5 million.
Yeah.
Are they going to be willing to make that sort of spending? You know, is the cap going to go down? Dude, what's your take on this?
I think the Sharks will not spend to the cap this year. I think there's two problems with that. One is that the economy isn't doing well. Two is that the Sharks lost in the first round. It's funny that you think that, oh, well, maybe they would spend more to try to get over the hump. But the fact is, a lot of the team's forecast earnings and revenues based on playoff wins, playoff home games, you earn a lot of revenue. I mean, we saw how much the ticket prices went up in those playoff games. Sharks played 3 home playoff games. That's a lot less than most years. That means they earned less money. That means they're not going to want to spend as much money next year. I'm guessing around $50 million for the Sharks.
Wow. So you're saying they're going to cut about $6 million off the...
I'm assuming the cap is going to stay roughly the same. I'd say $50 to $51 million. I think they're going to cut $5 or $6 million off of their payroll this coming year. That's my guess.
Wow.
What do you think?
Well, I'm going to say that they're going to go below spending to the cap again, but I think it's going to be in the $53 to $54 million range.
Okay.
Because, and they'll just kind of maintain, you know, roughly $3 million below the cap, allowing themselves some flexibility for, you know, later down the season, but not as dramatic a step. I think because the Sharks already have $46 million worth of salary players, you know, that they have committed to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even including players that they've got in the minors, like Jamie McGinn and Logan Couture. I mean, guys, Nick Patrecki. I mean,
yeah.
if even a player like Mike Moore, I mean, Mike Moore is making $1 million.
Yeah.
So if they bring him up, that's $1 million. I mean, that's considerably more than having, you know, Alexei Semenov, $600,000
a replacement
around.
Player, right.
Absolutely. So you're not going to see a player like that just be around. You mm-hmm. know, if Moore's here, he's playing. But, you know, so that means you've got to cut, you know, $6 million worth of salary. And in my opinion, you know, if they've got to re-sign players, you know, you've got a legitimate number of people that you've got to deal with contract-wise. Even though you've got in 2 years, you know, after next year in 2010, uh-huh. you've got, you know, Nabokov and Marlowe, $12 million worth of salary coming off the books. You've still got, you know, some important pieces that you need to add this year and some players that you need to re-sign. So I think, you know, there's probably about two guys who are making $3 million, who should be looking over their shoulders right now going, two of those guys probably aren't going to be on the team. They need the cap space.
That's right. And that's going to be a step that we're going to deal with in a future show. We're actually not going to be talking about that today. So
that's right.
That's why
I'm being so vague.
That's right.
That's why I'm being coy with you.
Coy,
Mike.
And vague.
Oh, my.
That's right. So actually, we do have an email to this effect.
Okay.
Actually asking about the cap. And our friend Jeremy says, dudes, I know that Mike professes to be an amateur capologist, which is true. He says, with the potential for the shrinking cap, what do you think of the scenario? A team buys a player out only to re-sign the same player. For example, the Sharks buy Chichu out. That makes his current cap hit half over twice the remaining length. Then the Sharks sign Chichu to a contract worth less than the remaining half. Since I'm not sure of the numbers, there's like a $3 million salary and a buyout hit, and then you could do, then you give him $1 million. And then it's about the same money overall. And he says, are there any provisions in place to prevent this, or did I just stumble into a loophole every GM will be employing once they hear your podcast?
Dude, isn't there medication for a shrinking cap?
Yeah, I think there is. Yeah.
Jeremy, if you need, you know, look that up online.
Levitra, I think.
Google
they call it,
shrinking
yeah.
cap. What's the answer, dude?
Well, actually, Jeremy, your numbers are a little bit off, and the fact they're a little bit off actually makes a huge difference, which is interesting enough. So Chichu is making, his cap hit is $3 million for the next 2 years, and he's actually making $3.5 million over the next 2 years. So what you make and what your cap hit is can be different, and it is in Chichu's case. And the buyout is actually not a half, it's actually two-thirds. So that makes it even less of it being worth it for a team to buy a player out, because you're not getting half the guy's salary off the books. You're only getting a third of it off the books. So if they buy him out, then they still have to pay him, you know, $2.3 million a year for 2 years, which then gets spread out over 4 years. And then because of some other random crap, it doesn't, we're talking about a few $100,000 either way here. And if they do re-sign him for $1 million, which is what they would do, they'd be within $300,000 or $400,000 of the original cap hit, and $300,000 or $400,000within the original the actual salary that they would pay. And Chichu would have to agree to sign for $1 million a year, which I think both of those things are pretty unlikely. So the ads, and you mentioned bonuses. Well, players can't get performance bonuses unless they're really, really young, like a rookie, or they're very, very old, like 39 or 40 years old, and they're like, you know, near retirement, and they can get bonuses and incentives for playing a lot or scoring points. So Chichu, in this example, Chichu's not eligible for that stuff. So the answer is, Jeremy, is that could it be done? It could be, and the result would be the Sharks would have the ability to sort of spread out this salary over more years, but then they would be liable for the salary and the cap hit after Chichu's contract has expired. And I don't know if teams really want to hold on to that crap. You know, in 2012, you want to have a $1.5 million cap hit to a guy that's gone?
No.
I don't think teams want that. So
I think it's different because, and we talked a little bit about this off the air, that the NFL works like this in a way,
right,
without getting into all of that. And I don't even understand all that.
NFL but, contracts aren't guaranteed. They can
sure,
cut anybody at any time.
Right. But like, you know, Alex Smith, the quarterback for the 49ers, he in, you know, earlier this year, he had his contract restructured to avoid some sort of bonus. I think it was like a $10 million bonus or something that the Niners weren't willing to pay. They cut him. They re-signed him to something else. And, you know, they were able to make that work under the cap. Now, I don't know the rules, but this doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work
like
that.
You can't cut a player, re-sign him, redo their right. contract.
It's specifically prohibited in the CBA to restructure a contract. And it's also specifically prohibited in the CBA to try and circumvent the CBA. So if the Sharks did this, bought him out and then immediately re-signed him, I think you can make a pretty decent case that the Sharks are trying to get around, do an end around some of the provisions of the CBA, and the NHL does have a go, no-go stamp on every single contract that gets signed. It's not a real contract until the NHL signs it. So I don't think the NHL would even let it happen. And like I just said, I don't think it would be that much benefit for either party. So, Jeremy, it's an interesting question, and I appreciate the creativity in terms of cap stuff. And I'm sure there's a lot of guys in the NHL trying to think of this exact stuff, trying to figure out a way to save a little money here and there. But I think this particular scenario isn't too likely, but it's a good question. So we talked about the cap. We both think the Sharks aren't going to be spending as much money this year. So the next step, the biggest step, and we've sort of alluded to this in previous weeks, the second thing the Sharks have to decide is what they're going to do with the top players. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Joe and Patrick Marleau and Nabokov, and I guess you could put Boyle into that group. You know, what are the Sharks going to do with these top players?
I think all four of those guys are going to be on the team next year.
Okay.
And, you know, even though with the frustration, probably the player that I'd be the most frustrated with is Nabokov, just based on his playoff performance.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, the fans were the most frustrated,
yeah,
just based on everybody's reaction to Boyle's comment and the fact that Boyle even made that comment, I think.
Well, dude, don't think about what you think the Sharks are going to do. Let's not play Oracle. Let's play
sure.
What should they do?
I think that they should keep him. He's got a year left.
Nabokov, all those guys. You think all those guys
guys should stay. Yeah, because I don't think Marleau and Thornton that we talked about before, they're not the problem. They didn't get support from their second and third lines. They produced. They had 60% of the points with Setoguchi in the first round playoff. That if you look at why the Blackhawks are still playing, that's because all four lines, the scoring is completely spread out.
That's right.
And the Red Wings, it's very close as well.
Mm-hmm.
Those teams are getting even, balanced scoring. The goaltending, Javi Bulin's not outplaying Nabokov necessarily. He let in two terrible goals the other night. So as far as that goes, I think that, you know, I would say keep those guys. Dan Boyle's not even up for discussion.
No.
It's not a debate. Nabokov's in a contract year. Players generally in a contract year are highly motivated.
That's right.
I think that it's pretty clear to me, looking at who the Sharks have lined up in their system. They've got Thomas Greiss. They're super high on Alex Stalock. They like this kid a lot. Someone was comparing him to Martin Brodeur the other day in some article I read. They love his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Stalock, I think, is going to get a major look next year in the AHL. Can this kid make it happen?
Right.
So now, yeah, you let Nabokov try and ride him as long as you can.
For those who didn't know, Alex Stalock is a goaltender from Minnesota Duluth in college hockey.
Undrafted.
Sharks got him in a late round, and he basically was the best goaltender in the NCAAs last season. Took a team that no one expected to make the Frozen Four into the tournament and played great and was the leader of that team and everything else. So the Sharks made another great pick in getting this guy on the rolls, and it's another good goaltending prospect for the Sharks. So there could be an interesting jam-up in terms of goalies next year.
Sure.
For myself, movement at the top. See, that's a tough question for me because I think there needs to be a change at the top, but I don't know if it means that players have to go. And my position is that, you know, we've talked a lot about captaincy in prior weeks. We've talked a lot about leadership in prior weeks. I think there needs to be a change in this area. That's my position. There needs to be a change in this area. If that change could be made with Patrick Marleau remaining on the team, fine. If that means he can't remain on the team, fine. That's my position. So I think Patrick Marleau should not have the captaincy. That is my position. You know,
okay.
We can have quiet captains. You see it around the league. Nick Lidstrom's one of them. I think the Sharks have tried it. I think it works. You can have a quiet captain. I don't think it's working for the Sharks. I think the Sharks need to change that. With Joe and Patty together, I think that's too much of one thing in terms of who's driving the bus a little bit, and I think somebody else needs to take the helm a little bit. And if Patrick Marleau can step away, and he said something interesting sort of that point at State of the Sharks, he said any one of these guys could be the captain. And I sort of took that as maybe that's something he might be open to. Maybe it's something he's even welcoming. Who knows? But I think you give the seat to Boyle, and you make him the guy that's the focal point of the team, and you say, Marleau, just score 40 goals, baby, you know? Just kick ass. Kick ass and take names on the ice, and then you don't have to worry about answering all these questions and taking all this heat. Let somebody else take the heat, and maybe this team will be better. I think the experiment has played out, and it's time to make that change.
I'd like to think that could happen, that he could give up the C and still be a member of the team. I just don't think that can happen. We talked about how Madonna gave up the C to Morrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a little bit different. It's the changing of the guard.
Yeah.
As far as an age, you could see Madonna taking a step back and going, all right, you know, I'm going to be here a couple more years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy's going to be here forever. So I'll give up the C. You know, in Tampa Bay, now I can't remember what the situation is there. Is LeCavalier the captain?
Yes.
But he wasn't. So he took on the captaincy.
He wasn't when Tortorella was there.
Right, because Andrew Chuck was the captain.
That's right.
Which is an interesting situation, which would sort of be like giving the captaincy to JR.
Right.
know, which I don't think is a good idea. So I don't know, dude. Like, I think, you know, it, going back to what EJ said, which I think is makes a lot of sense. If you're going to move a player like Patrick Marleau, well, you better damn replace him.
That's right.
With something else. And, you know, only Doug Wilson and Todd McClellan know if they can take the captaincy away from Marleau and give it to Boyle, and if he's still going to be able to be a productive member of this team, mm-hmm. or if he's going to revert back to the 2007-2008 Marleau, who was basically useless.
Right. Or if it's going to be too much of a distraction for both him personally and the team.
Right.
I mean, that's stuff that's really difficult to evaluate. But that's my position. Do I think it's going to happen? I don't think that's very likely, to mm-hmm. be honest. But these shows are about what we want to happen, and that's what I want to happen. I like Patrick Marleau as a player. I love him as a player. And I think in different situations, he might even be a good leader. But he's not the right leader for the Sharks anymore. It's time to make a change.
And I think that, you know, while Marleau is frustrating at times as far as he doesn't give a flashy quote, that, you know, the problem isn't at the top. The problem mm-hmm. is the supporting cast. They don't have the guys to follow them into battle right now to get it done.
That's interesting. I think maybe if you have a little bit of change at the top, you might make those second and third line players a little bit more likely to follow him. That's what I think. So.
If you could get a player, like if you could put out a scenario for me, which we won't do today,
mm-hmm.
another teaser. But if you could present to me a scenario that's not Marleau for a first round draft pick,
uh-huh.
that's Marleau where you could replace him with a guy who's going to come in here and make a legitimate, serious impact on our top six forwards, or even if it's a defenseman who's going to come in and make a major change in the culture of this team, then I would be certainly open to suggestions.
Right.
But I don't think that type of swap is out there and possible.
All right. Well, dude, we're running out of time. So we got
what?
We're out of time.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm not joking. So we
only made it to step two.
I know. Well, that means we'll have to hold on for step three and step four next week. Step three. That we'll be answering next week. Now, we want your answers. What are the Sharks missing? Can you fill it from within? That's step three, okay? And step four is, who do you try and keep of your own as far as free agents goes? That's UFAs and RFAs. So first, you have to identify what you need. And then you have to identify who are the players that are going to fill those roles that you need.
So we want your emails.
We want your emails. questions@dudesonhockey.com, because those questions, what are the Sharks missing and can you fill it from within? Step four, who do you try and keep from the restricted and unrestricted free agent list? Those are the answers we're going to be asking and answer. Those are the answers that we're going to be giving next week.
Great.
So we want that. So check it out. Make sure to tune in again Wednesday next week. Same time, same place. We'll talk to you then.
Dude, I'm saving up some money. I'm going to buy the Phoenix Coyotes tomorrow.
Sweet. I got a buck.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions@dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.